3 years ago, I had the distinct pleasure of meeting someone through one of our favorite guests here on Pretty Late. Michelle L'Amour has an incredible series, A Naked Girl's Reading, and she said, I have someone I want to bring in studio. And we were mesmerized by the author of Goddess of Love Incarnate joining us in studio to talk about a new project she has that we can all catch on Sunday is Leslie Zemeckis. Hey, Leslie, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. It's good to be back.
Yes, and you have a wonderful Instagram account to follow. Because you celebrate life in such a great way.
I try.
And that whole year after I met you, you were doing, you did a whole series of very wonderful photos where you would have a book kind of covering different bits.
Well, I thought, for Michelle's, I can't hear me, but.
Oh, you can't hear yourself? We'll fix that.
Okay.
There might be a knob over there.
Michelle's, whole premise of naked girls reading, I thought, well, what about naked writers writing? So we did a little take, I would do post pictures everywhere with.
From everywhere, all
My
over
computer.
The world. Yes, your computer would be situated somewhere.
Yeah,
or a
so
book.
It would cover me up. And
I was always excited to see what was going to happen next.
Well, we could always bring that back because I will have another book coming out in the fall.
Well, yes, I would imagine when you're working on a film, it's harder to figure out different ways to position a camera or
exactly.
Tell us this project and the movie that people can catch on Sunday.
Yeah, so Sunday at 1:30 at the Chicago History Museum is our Chicago debut of my third documentary, which is called Mabel, Mabel, Tiger Trainer, which is about the world's first female tiger trainer, Mabel Stark. She's got an incredible story. She was born in the late 1800s. She started in the circus in 1911 and really stumbled upon it. She wasn't in the circus, had no intention to ever, work with tigers. Fell in love with them. And said, that's what I'm going to do. And everybody said, no, you're not. Women can't train tigers.
Well, people would say, anybody would say, don't train tigers to any human being. But yeah, I would imagine a woman coming in.
And just, and she said, I'm going to. And then soon enough, she had 18, 21 tigers in the cage behind her. She was the biggest star of her era, all through the 30s and the 40s. She doubled in movies for Mae West and
what?
Yeah. There's
a
great photo
sometime.
Yeah. And Mae loved her.
Come on. I had no idea.
Because she was beautiful. She was this petite little blonde, mm-hmm. but she was tough. I mean, obviously, if you're going to handle these tigers, but she really did it with love. It was called the kindness training. So it wasn't really even rewarding, it was just very methodical and quiet and just kind.
And you mentioned in a piece that you've written about your experience doing this that she had been hurt by people, the men in her life. What happened that brought her to the circus?
Well, she grew up in really poor circumstances. She came from an abusive home, lost her family. Her siblings kind of turned on her. And so that was her first experience of not trusting the people who were around her. And then she fell into all these relationships with men that was the same thing. They were just, one was an embezzler, one was a drunk, one wore makeup at the time, which was very odd. So she felt like that man would break her spirit, but the tigers weren't. There was an honesty, and she knew, she wasn't delusional. She knew that the tigers were looking for their chance to get her, but she felt it was a very honest relationship.
So she kind of found her way in those moments in between of the when the cats wanted to strike.
Right.
And so what were the, how much of a history of training tigers did you work on to learn how she ended up in this world? Because I'm not familiar with where even tiger training started. I know this.
It's an old, the circus historically is very old, and mm-hmm. it comes from Europe. And so there's the thing which was also phenomenal about her is it's a very patriarchal society. So there's a family, and there's generation after generation after generation. It's very hard to get in. It's very hard to get to do what you want and to even become a star. But she was so good and so determined, and being the first one who really worked up a big tiger act, she was an icon of her era. And for years, she worked up until 68. So 40,
really?
50 years. Yeah.
Man.
And not an inch of her body that was not scarred.
Really? From the cats?
Yeah. Horrible attacks.
Well, and you would think, too, with medicine, I mean, you take a big chance. Anything could happen. Now, you get a splinter and you might get blood poisoning.
Oh,
so the fact that she was being treated back in the late 1800s into the early 1900s,
well,
her survival, yes.
When a lot of the trainers, when they got scratched, they kind of took care of the wounds themselves, which is really kind of barbaric and, you know.
Wow.
I couldn't do it.
No,
thank you. But I wanted, you know, she had left a lot of writings of her, of letters and her point of view and how she trained the tigers. And my films I like to do from the point of view of the subject. So it's narrated by Melissa Leo, who does a fabulous job. But it's all Mabel's words. And what we did is we followed some circuses around Texas and Florida, and we put cameras on the trainers, so you as the audience get the point of view of what it's like to have that tiger right there. There's no cage
to be facing it down.
Exactly.
What?
So it's really awesome. I love it.
How did you come across Mabel's story?
From she was briefly in the Cooch Show, and because of all my history of burlesque, her name had come up, and I just started researching and just fell in love with her.
And it's you know, astounding how many stories. I mean, of course, you know, you live an astounding life. The people around you, as you mentioned, she was iconic, you know, during her time, and then kind of fades.
Yeah. And, to me, that's always sad. And I always want to bring those women back and also who are very kind of misunderstood and stigmatized because of the profession. I mean, today you even say a tiger trainer or you say circus, and you have that label without knowing what it's really about and how she really loved these animals and cared for them 24/7. I mean, they were absolutely everything to her. She bottle fed them. They, you know, some were raised in her home. She would walk them on leashes on the beach in California. There's a story and you know, she cut the meat, she cleaned the cages, so it was really, you know, love. I mean, she did it for love.
We want to know more about this story. We are talking to Leslie Zemeckis. She has a screening of her movie Mabel, Tiger Trainer at the Chicago History Museum this Sunday, March 25th at 1:30. You can go to chicagohistory.org for ticket information. I can't wait to see this. More with Leslie Zemeckis when we come back on 720 WGN. There's an event coming up this Sunday at the Chicago History Museum that you do not want to miss. The screening of Mabel, Tiger Trainer is going to be on Sunday, March 25th at 1:30 p.m. And joining us in studio is the documentarian for this film, Leslie Zemeckis. I'm so excited for you on this project.
Thank you.
How long did it take from conception to birth?
You know, I think I was looking at photos. I think 4 years.
Okay. So you were living this.
Yeah. I mean, not nonstop,
sure.
Because I had another book that came out and whatever else I was doing. Oh, my three kids.
Oh, yeah, them too.
But started it about 4 years ago. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of it's the research and digging and finding a lot of footage. I didn't want to do this film if I couldn't find footage on her. I didn't want to just do photos. And I found some, and then I found more, and then I found more. So I was really excited.
So Mabel, who became a tiger trainer, they're 4,000 pounds, these...
Not quite 4,000. Like, they're 400 to 600.
Oh, but there's 18 of them. So it's 4,000 pounds a cat seal cage.
Good math.
No. I was looking at your piece. I totally cheated. I was thinking 4,000 pounds a cat.
Yeah.
I consolidated the thought and jumped the cat is what I did. So she had 18.
Well, the most she had was 21
at
a time. Yeah.
One would be terrifying.
Be enough. I mean,
yes.
When we filmed, I was in the cage with a baby one at 8 weeks, and their teeth are sharp.
Yeah. When she would suffer injuries, I mean, these were they mostly scratches, or did she also get bitten?
No, she got mauled and horribly attacked.
Oh, man. Because cats don't stop until they're done. So there was some give and take with them at some point.
Well, she had to be rescued.
Wow.
But, you know, if it's a little scratch or coming at you, she can control it. But if it's a full-on attack, she had to be rescued a few times.
And you mentioned that she had grown up not being able to trust the people in her life, her siblings, the men that she married. Did she ever learn to trust people? Did she learn anything from her relationship with cats?
I don't think so. I think she kept herself apart. I think she felt apart. Even though she found a home and a family with the circus, she still kind of was separate from them and was I think, just very wary of people. You know, she was very happy just working her cats.
Do you find, I mean, because you also did in the last book that we had, Love Incarnate. Mm-hmm. Was that the Passion
Goddess of
Incarnate.
Love Incarnate.
Yeah. I'm like, I've got so many words. Goddess of Love Incarnate. Do you find these women who not only were so incredibly beloved by their fans, but not necessarily able to find love?
Right.
You found another one of them. Are you drawn to characters or women in history like this?
I think I'm drawn to really independent women.
Sure.
So a lot of times those don't go hand in hand. They don't maybe, because they're really following their path. And especially, you know, when Lily Sincere from Goddess of Love Incarnate, you know, she was at the height in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, women, you know, you had to do so much to get ahead. And it's the same with Mabel. So you had to have that kind of focus, I think. And, you know, romance just...
They're being disruptive. Yeah. They're disrupting, too, the norms of what's expected of them.
Right.
Which
Absolutely.
Is going to make it hard.
Right.
In order to find sort of that, you know, and who knows if they even want it anymore at a certain
right.
point.
Exactly.
Because they've kind of been burned.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you did find footage. We were talking to Roger Badish in between. So you found footage of Mabel.
Yeah. She did a lot. She did some great interviews. And there's a lot of footage of her working the cats and some from movies that she did.
Does she? Are there any of her relatives from her siblings that you were able to track down?
Yes,
you did.
I did talk to. I mean, it first started when I called somebody who I knew had last worked with her. There's this weird place in California called Jungleland. It was before Disneyland, and it was a big amusement park where there were animals. And she worked there for 30 years. It's where they filmed the Tarzans, Dr. Doolittle. So everybody for the movie theaters came out there and filmed because they had all these animals that were literally just, you could go up and touch them.
Well,
yes, you could
seem
that
safe.
Close. Yeah, it was not at all. So they had their, you know, problems with that. But she worked there for 30 years. And I forget your question and what it was relevant to.
Oh, about finding relatives.
Yes. So it first started doing this. I met the man who last worked with her there, and because he had seen my last film, he said, I have all her scrapbooks, I have everything. It's all yours to go through. And so he had done a lot of research, and he knew some distant relatives who filled in more of the blanks about her childhood and you know, gave me a few pictures of when she was younger and her mother and that. So finding, you know, when you find just one little thing like that, it's just such gold. And then it would just kind of accumulate with this project.
Well, it sounds like you're bringing gold for all of us to bring a story that we're not familiar with, to, you know, bring to life on the screen a story that we haven't heard is a remarkable thing. So I want everyone to check out chicagohistory.org for the tickets for this Sunday's screening of Mabel, Tiger Trainer. Again, that's at the Chicago History Museum, right down here in it's kind of the Old Town area. It's a great it's right not too far from Lincoln Park Zoo,
and there'll be a Q&A afterwards.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll be there again.
And you can follow Leslie on Instagram because you have such a fabulous Instagram page. It's so much fun. There's that you mix it up way better than I do, because I take a lot of selfies. You know, you and I have mastered our own style of selfies, but you also mix it up with so much imagery and celebrating life and the people around you, you know, not just what you're up to now, but all the things that are, I just love that about
Thanks.
You. It's wonderful. Yeah. So find Leslie. What is the handle? Is it Leslie Zemeckis?
Leslie Zemeckis, yeah.
Leslie Zemeckis on Instagram. More when we come back on 720 WGN. It's Friday night, which means it's time for the Binge and Uncork segment. I'm accidentally calling our guest on the phone from my cell phone. Hey, Susan, did you see that?
Yes, I did.
You're like, wait a minute, we're on the phone.
I'm like, wait, what?
It's so good to talk to you. I was we were just actually off the air talking about how I was passing through Springfield briefly for just a one-day visit, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm in Springfield. I know that Susan's only 20 minutes away from here. I've got to go see her. And then I messaged you to see if you're around before I checked to see where exactly, in which direction
you are.
And
it was a lovely day, too.
It was in the vineyard pruning. It was such a beautiful, sunny day. I love Springfield, Illinois. I love just going down to the old Capitol and seeing the, you know, where Abraham Lincoln used to practice law and then served our state, and then the last place he left before he went to become president of the United States. And I was sitting at a coffee shop, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm just going to go over to the vineyard. But you are west and south of Springfield, aren't you?
If I was only the other way, it would be on your way home. You could just stop.
I know. You know what? In my world, like, things should just work out that way. Like, I just assumed you'd be on the way. That's really how it worked out in my brain. Susan Dannenberger is our fabulous winemaker. She's the proprietor of Dannenberger Family Vineyards at 12341 Irish Road. And it's a family thing. This farm has been in your family since the 1800s. I love your story.
Got to keep it going. It was very interesting on St. Patrick's Day because my whole family was Irish. So it was like, yeah, hey, I know it sounds like we're not Irish with Dannenberger, but we are. So come hang with us.
Well, on Irish Road, you play up the on Irish Road on St. Patrick's Day. That's the way you get that done, too. So we have been watching some great series over the last several months that we've had this incredible collaboration with you. And of course, the concept from this really, I think, germinated between you and Elliot, because you were talking about how you would, you know, when you were going through something in your life, you would binge watch stuff on Netflix or other things like Orange is the New Black. And we wondered, and you also, I think your husband was mentioning how there's this concept of pairing wine with music and the kind of mood that it puts mm-hmm. you in. And joining us on the line is the co-creator of Bingen and Cork, Elliot Serrano.
Yay.
Joins us. Hey, Elliot.
Hi. Hello, ladies.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hello.
I'm doing well. Just listening to the show, learning about how to be a writer and be naked at the same time. It is incredible, the things I learned on this show.
Elliot, just so you know, Leslie Zemeckis' husband was in the studio, so I cannot believe that you weren't here tonight.
You know, maybe it was best that I wasn't. Maybe it was best.
I told him that I had to work really hard not to dork out, so yes. So Elliot helped create Binge and Uncork, and this has been one of my favorite things. I look forward to this every Friday, and it's not just because Susan sends the latest bottle of wine, and when I show up at WGN Radio, like tonight, it's Soleil Noir. So it's not, it's like a Rogue, like Rogue Red. It's not that. So tell
Black
us.
Sun. Yep.
So is this, wait a minute. So I, wait a minute. Did I screw this up? Did I already jump the gun on what you paired with Jessica Jones?
I kind of gave a hint though on social media.
Okay.
I think it's pretty obvious.
So the second season of Jessica Jones was your assignment for this week. And, you know, there was a bit of a conversation with Scott Santis. He thought you should watch Frasier. But that's a huge, first of all, it's probably something you might have seen. And that's a lot of episodes. I mean, where do you even jump in and begin? And I love the idea of doing Jessica Jones just because she's such a badass character. And I have to tell you, Susan, there was a point where I thought, you know who would really get along well in fictional world would be Jessica Jones and Tommy Shelby.
Yeah. Or maybe they're too similar.
She would make a good family member, at least for the Peaky Blinders. No doubt about it. Now, Elliot, have you had the chance to watch the Jessica Jones series, the second season?
Yes. Yes, I did. I remember the first season, because I'm a big fan of the comic book. So, you know, I'm a huge Jessica Jones. In the comic book, it was called Alias, as, you know, Alias Investigations. It's the name of her detective agency. So the first season it got a little bit dark, you know, but not so much. There was a little bit of humor in there. Oh, my goodness. The second season, though.
You know, yes. Oh.
Yeah, she's hitting the booze way harder this time around.
Right? Well, and this is going to now she's, you know, as a, it's interesting, the whole PI aspect of it, because, you know, you always have the dark, you know, PI, right? You've got your Rockford Files, you know, you can name a dozen of like these sort of quirky, dark characters throughout fictional history. But what she does when she solves a job or finishes a job for a client, she usually ends up making them feel way, way worse than if they just let their lives unravel the way it was going to anyway. Don't you think, Elliot?
Oh, definitely. And the thing that got me, although I will say, if I had one little nitpick about the show, was that the second season of Jessica Jones takes place after Defenders, which the Jessica Jones is a part of that team. So I was like, you know, in the earlier episodes where she's getting in trouble and she's in court, I'm like, where's Matt Murdock? You know?
Right.
She knows Daredevil. She's got a lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
See, I was wondering.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was wondering about those things too.
but then that would have interfered with the tone of the show, because, you know, it's supposed to be like, yeah, you were saying, it's very much a dark, very noirish type. She's a hard boiled, you know, PI, you know, Mickey Spillane, or, you know, the type that, you know, the Humphrey Bogart type character, right? You know,
right.
She's a gal. She's, you know, tough as nails, and she beats people up. So, you know.
Yep.
But then it bleeds into every other character. I mean, her best friend, her assistant. I don't even want to give it away. Who else? But it was. I was just counting the number of people that were on the verge of questioning their humanity. It was really, really tough.
I agree. There's some darkness in this. And a lot of this is going to be dealing with, I haven't been able to finish the entire season, but kind of going to, where does she come from and why do these people do this to her and other people? Right, Elliot?
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, there are a lot of little nerdy nods to comic book fans. If you're a total dork, of course, Patsy Walker, her best friend, she's a character that in the old Marvel comics was actually Patsy. She was supposed to be a fashion model in the comic books. But when Marvel did girls comics, you know, that were about models going on adventures and doing like kind of like the Barbie lifestyle. And then the kind of overweight bearded guy who I don't know who that reminded me of.
Are you talking about Wizard? Poor Wizard.
The Wizard, yes, who is actually a Marvel superhero, the Wizard. They decided to make him into either Benicio del Toro, or no, actually Benicio del Toro, Wayne West now. That would be me. I'm sorry. That was like, hey, wait a minute. Who was this supposed to be? It's bad enough that I look like Horatio Sands. Now, you know, I have other characters showing up on Netflix. So what do you do?
Well, as much as I love the ride at Great America, the Wizard also sounds like as they mentioned in the episode, it sounds like he goes to the bathroom a lot or pees his pants.
So again, all those little bits in there makes the series, you know, again, whether you like hard-boiled detectives or you're just a comic book nerd, you know, there's a little bit there for everybody.
We are hanging out with Susan Dannenberger and Elliot Serrano for Binge and Uncork. We're talking about the series Jessica Jones, now in its second season, that's up on Netflix, and we have to come back and find out about the wine and why it goes with Jessica Jones, plus find out what the assignment for Susan. And this one's going to be for everybody, because it's a movie, and I really want everyone to see this movie. We are talking wine and binging on some series and maybe just fun stuff to watch. More after this on WGN, 720 AM. The second season of Jessica Jones is up on Netflix, and we have watched, I've at least watched several of the episodes. Susan Dannenberger, how many episodes did you make it through?
I finished the last one last night.
Yay! Wait.
I couldn't stop.
I love it. And so you have chosen a wine. What are you pairing with? I know that I already said it, but let's, for those, we'll catch people up for a binge and uncork. What wine are you pairing with Jessica Jones?
I'm pairing Soleil Noir. It's a Tempranillo blend, and it's friendly in the beginning, but then you realize there's got this spiciness to it, and it's big and bold, and then later it kind of sneaks up on you, and you're like, oh, I got to slow down.
I've gone too far. Well, that's like Jessica Jones, right? Like that, even in the first episode, she's about to punch that guy. She's going to finish that guy off, and she's got her fist raised, and she realizes she needs to back off. So I think this is perfect.
You had a lot of those moments this time. I was really shocked. I almost, halfway through, I was like, oh gosh, this is way more mentally than I thought it would be. Because the first season had some light heartedness to it. This season did not. It came in hard and big, and you just had to hold on. I had no idea it was going to keep happening. Elliot has the upper hand because he kind of knows where it's going. I did not. So I didn't predict all these upside down turns that were happening.
Well, we are. I have something else for you that's going to be big and surprising, and that'll be the assignment. Let me take a break here and find out what our next episode of Binge and Uncork will entail. More after this on 720 WGN. This week, pretty late, bent its own self-imposed rule in which we had an embargo on talking about President Trump during the week. But comedian Paul Farvar came up with a segment called Deadpool. Wanted to see who people thought were safe or not safe in this administration. And I did not think there were going to be any winners this week. I thought that perhaps everybody, since there was so much turmoil, and when Sarah Huckabee Sanders stands at that podium in a press conference, you know, she is so very, very convincing that everything's fine. The president loves his legal team. There's not going to be any changes in the National Security Administration. Nothing is going to change. Everything is the way it is. Nothing's going to happen. Everyone's good. The president's not going to make any changes. I mean, I buy into that. Ken Jakubowski, Eric Elk on the line with us. I'm like, you know what? She is such an honest and stalwart human being. I believe her. There is no way McMaster is going anywhere. Obviously, like she said, the president likes him. They see eye to eye and everything. She loves his legal team. There's not going to be any changes there. Dowd, definitely staying.
Well,
what happened, Ken?
She is a very accomplished liar. She's very good at it.
And do you think but there are people who really believe their truth?
No, no,
no, no. Eric, what do you think?
No.
Eric, you think that she's an accomplished liar or a self-believer?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I mean, she's got a job to do. She's got to go out there and sell this. I mean, the things that the president is doing, I'm sure they're struggling every day to get out of bed. And how are they going to go do this again?
I was in absolute awe. The fact that Dowd left the legal team and DeGenova came in, I mean, I was told specifically, Ken, I looked right in her eyes. I looked in Sarah Huckabee Sanders' eyes, and I saw the truth, which was the legal team was, no one was coming in, no one was going out.
Well, after the New York Times article, which Trump said was fake news.
Yes.
When the New York Times wrote there are going to be big changes in the legal team, Trump said, absolutely not, total lies. Look, I agree with, I agree with Eric. I mean, I've been there. Eric's been there. There are times where what you're saying is not completely accurate, but you have to believe it. And I'm sure that to some extent, from a policy perspective, she believes it. And I'm sure she believes in Donald Trump without any question. You can't be in that job without being 100% committed to Donald Trump.
I would like, Eric, is there a way for when they're in that, in the press conference in the newsroom and the press is there, can't they just like, you know, in the movie Say Anything, when he's standing outside of that girl's window, can't they just like have a speaker of all the stuff she said wasn't going to happen and just play it at her and just her with her own words of all the things that she said wasn't going to happen that have happened? So then there's no, but that. Okay, I'm just...
Well, Eric, the one thing that this administration...
That's the inside of my head sounds like, by the way.
Yeah, well, the one thing that this administration has in common with the Clinton administration, in particular President Clinton, is all of them are impervious to embarrassment. I mean, they just keep plowing forward. No matter how many things they say turns out to be discovered as a complete and absolute lie, they just keep moving forward as if nothing ever happened. Most normal people would shrink and go, God, you know, they've just found me out to be a liar on national TV. They're making fun of me. I'm not leaving the house. But they just keep going. Keep going. And Trump, of course, has made an entire life out of this.
Well, that's just it. You're right. I mean, that's what he's done his entire life. And, you know, just shifts gears, and most of us would be totally embarrassed by some of this. It's amazing that he isn't.
Well, and Clinton was that way too. I know when I was involved in the Clinton Monica Lewinsky stuff, I used to just sometimes, you know, after talking to some of the reporters, you'd hang up and go, God, I can't believe I just discussed this intimate stuff with the presidents with like reporters, but yet he just keeps going. I would never leave the house. I'd probably go live in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know
where the Unabomber lived, and that's where I would have gone.
That shack, just have a shack
I'd go
off
to the
grid
shack for about 10 years, and then I'd slowly come back.
You could probably find an Airbnb and do that. You know,
there. I
bet you could. You find like they have like yurts. You could live in a yurt. I see Ken in a yurt. Eric, what are you in? Like in a teepee? In a yurt? What are you in? You on a houseboat?
I think a
houseboat.
I'm gonna be in a shed up in the mountains.
I like that. Oh, you know, or just some leaves on some branches. You're good. You're good to go.
But I think that this is a requirement to be in high public office. I think you have to just not be embarrassed, and you have a gene of lack of embarrassment, gene, I guess.
Then I can't do it. I have a lot of shame. I have so much shame.
Yeah,
they have no shame. There's
no shame.
No shame. That's what we should. You know what? That's the new segment. I don't know what it is yet. We're just working on it right now, Michael. No shame. The no shame zone, right?
Ooh, yeah.
When they bold-faced lies, right? And then we just collect them, and we just play a string of these people have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Ooh, that's a good one.
The no shame zone.
It's a heck of a long segment each week. It really
a lot
would
of
be.
Editing on the part of my producer.
Yes, but it's going to put Michael to work.
We'll work. No, but we can all send him clips.
Oh,
yes. Not just us, everybody.
Full employment for Michael.
Everyone can send Michael clips of the no shame zone. I'm just working on it. We're figuring it out. Hopefully we can find a whiskey sponsor so we can do whiskey with no shame. Well, let's do a quick break. We have some great music coming up in just a few moments. We're on the line now with Eric Elk. Eric, are you hanging out or are you done for the night?
I'm going to hang out for a couple more minutes.
All right, excellent. Eric Elk on the line with us, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. We also have Ken Jakubowski in studio. He's the president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises. And we are missing Dave Lundy, who is otherwise engaged, but we will see him again next week. And apparently he surprised everybody at his Lundy lunch with, you know, just a gubernatorial candidate. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Freak Out Friday. And in order to hold the freaking out at bay, we bring in amazing performers, artists, musicians from around the Chicagoland area, sometimes people who are just passing through town. Tonight, we are thrilled to welcome in studio Ars Nova. And we love that they are joining us in studio. By the way, I want to make sure what people know. Do you have an event coming up pretty soon? Do you have a performance, a place where we can see you? Where can we catch you guys?
We do. We have our big album release show on April 6th.
At?
Friday at the Cubby Bear. So it's going to be a huge event.
Friday, April 6th at the Cubby Bear. Right now they are live in studio, and we are thrilled again to hear some music from Ars Nova. Here they are with Drag Me.
1, 2, 3, 4. Just when we're supposed to start. Why do I always find out myself? My splitting head's a good way to tell. Tell. So real. You know, I think I need another drink, just so I can buy myself another minute or two to think. I see you hide behind your silly disguise, just so you can creep on up and tell your filthy, filthy lies. Rattlesnakes fill my head. You know I don't remember ever telling you that you could get out of my bed. Why do I always find out myself? My splitting head's a damn good way to tell. Think I know just how far this one's gonna go. Know that I can tell. Sole reason for being is to drag me down to hell.
Their release party is on April 6th at the Cubby Bear, and you can find out more about them on social media. Where can they find out? Find you guys on Instagram and such?
Yes, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anything you think of. We're all over the place.
They're all over the place. Ars, the Ars Nova, that's A-R-S, Nova, traditional spelling. I think people can figure that one out, Ken, don't you think? We're going to check back in with them in just a little bit and hear some more live music. On the line with us is Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, and Ken Jacobowski joins us in studio. He is the president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises. Okay, so this week has been a bit of a whirlwind. Let's just, I don't know how else to put it. There was obviously the local primaries in Illinois, and then, but then there's so much with the White House, the tariffs that went into effect against China.
The crash of the stock market, down 1,400
tumbling,
points this week.
We prefer tumbling, the stumble, the tumble.
It's down.
Okay, so here's my question. Eric, Ken, I've been wondering about this, and maybe I should ask my listeners. Maybe we'll ask the listeners. What foreign nation holds the most of our debt in treasury notes? Just out of curiosity, what nation has the biggest amount, percentage, of our debt in treasury notes?
You want to take a crack at this, Eric?
I'm just curious. Eric, can you? I mean, should a nation decide, well, we're just going to cash out, or say we're going to cash out, because even saying that they're going to cash out will destroy the dollar.
Yeah, it's China.
It's China. Yeah. No. It's China.
China. Yes.
China owns our debt, owns a significant portion of our debt. And that includes, I'm guessing, Just spitballing here. That includes the $1.2 trillion. $1.3 trillion we just added to that debt. So I did that. Can I just? I'm not. I got a D in economics. I want to be honest with you. I got a D in economics. But you know, when the stock market crashed in 2008 and we went to a recession, and all the economists, like high paid guys, they all said, "Yeah, I don't really know what happened." I thought, well, I might have gotten a D in economics. At least I didn't break the economy. Because what they said was, we didn't take into account human nature and greed. Do you remember when they said that?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what papers I just threw, but I can't.
Well,
I'm just going to, I don't know what's happening.
It's been rough if you look at your 401ks every day.
I might be freaking out, Michael. I'm just saying. I can't.
It is Freak Out Friday, okay. That's allowed.
Our erstwhile president says that trade wars are good. And can be won.
Trade wars are good. When was the last time that happened? Could you show me on a map? Could you show me to a
not
link?
Me.
A link? Anyone got a link? Ars Nova? You guys got a link to a time in history when a trade war? Michael? Roger? Eric? Listeners?
I'm busy getting the news together.
Could you show me?
Give her some more paper.
Eric and I are two strong free trade guys. Right, Eric?
The last thing I got
That's the thing that is so disturbing. You know, being a conservative Republican, I've always advocated for free market, free enterprise, free trade, free and open borders. And, with this administration, they're completely reversing course.
Yes. I was surprised to see a lot of libertarians who have been all on board with the policies of this president, and they're angry tonight. Do you think, and here's how this is how things play out. Do you think that he knows that the conservatives are mad at him for the $1.3 trillion? He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I got an idea. I'm going to go ahead with that transgender thing I've been saying I was going to do.
No, I think somewhat dalliance with vetoing this was because some conservatives called him and said, you've got to veto this. And he said, wait, veto what?
Yeah, he was going to say that.
You know that bill that they've been discussing with you for 2 months? You got to veto it.
Can I just go over that number again? $1.3 trillion. And everyone would call up on my show for the last 2 years saying I had an agenda. And I still, by the way, now you've seen all the papers I've thrown. Were a single one of those things my agenda? You know, and the debts that former presidents have racked up?
There is something in that bill, in that piece of legislation, that should make every anti-gun person very happy.
Okay, well, let's take a break here and find out what that is. We're going to take a break, go to news. Eric, you hanging out?
Yeah,
I just terrified our band by throwing things. They're just happy they don't have paper cuts. More after this on 720 WGN. Engineer Aubrey has entered the studio to make sure I haven't broken anything during my freak out earlier. He's also here because it's Music Friday, and he's making sure that our band, Ars Nova, sounds as good on the air as they do in studio on April 6th. They have a release party at the Cubby Bear. They're live in studio right now, and here they are with Extra Jelly.
1, 2, 3, 4. Blonde hair flipped to the side as you're walking through the door. Whoa, ho, ho. Look at me while I'm looking at you, and I don't really know what I should do. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Lonely things, and I'm begging you, please, when all of these eyes are locked on you. Are you the one thing that I know for sure is closing time? I couldn't come too soon. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
turn my head and I'm walking to the fire. Give a try and see if it's right. Take care of us fair, then we'll walk through the night. We could be walking to the moon, I said. Just wanna keep my eyes on you. If false is right and true is wrong, well then I sit here singing you this song. Whoa, oh.
With Extra Jelly. Their release party is coming up on April 6th at the Cubby Bear. And folks can find them on Instagram and
Facebook.
And Facebook.
Primarily.
Primarily on Facebook. Really? You've deactivated your Facebook account completely.
It was about a month ago, yeah.
Completely deactivated it.
Yeah, over the issues that everyone's talking about.
I was under the impression that younger folks were done with the Facebook. And what's your name? I know I have it in front of me somewhere, but I want to.
Dylan. It's
Dylan. I mean, Love. What a great Facebook. Last name, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Lovering.
Thank you.
It's a very good last name. So you use Facebook, do you use it mostly for promoting the Ars Nova?
Yeah.
But not for.
That's all we use it for.
That's all you use it for? Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Much. Fair enough. Do you guys use Twitter and Instagram?
Instagram, yes.
Instagram.
We should be more active on Twitter.
I know. I like Instagram. Out of the three platforms, I like Instagram the most. That's the one you don't use at all.
I haven't used it at all. Explain it to me.
It's mostly just, it's a story and pictures. And you can do like your own story with like a video. You can do short videos. You can do boomerang. You can do promotional stuff.
So it's a place to post a lot of photographs.
It's visual.
And also videos if you want.
Yeah. And you can do in your post, you can also, you know, share a little bit of the story. You can make it long or short. I tend to keep mine short because I think it's more about the visuals than about reading.
I should tell. And what is your Instagram?
Mine is at, thank you for asking, at Patty Vasquez CHI, because Patty Vasquez was taken by an 8-year-old girl in California at the time. So yeah, okay. I was too late to the game.
Okay.
The 8-year-old was quicker to the game than I was.
Well, I will take a look at it and see how you use it.
Yes.
And I've thought about doing something on Instagram. I just never really have taken the time to understand how to best use it.
And I mentioned earlier, Leslie Zemeckis, who is in studio, she has, I think, the kind of Instagram I would aspire to. I wouldn't do the same thing she does, but she shows her life and what she's doing, what she's up to, the things that she is drawn to, what she's passionate about. She does a great job, and I haven't gotten there yet. I do a lot of like, here's who I'm with tonight, here are my guests, here's a moment, you know, maybe with my boys and that kind of stuff. Eric, you use mostly Twitter. Of the three?
Nah, I use Instagram a bit. I don't use any of them that much, frankly. I've been thinking along the same lines as Ken about totally just being off of social media altogether.
I was actually, for once in my life, ahead of the curve on this.
I don't know.
Because all you guys thought I was nuts when I said, that's it. I'm done with Facebook. I'm tired of all the data stuff. What really was the turning point for me was really several months of multiple Facebook notifications, seemingly a day, about people that I should connect with, that I probably have a connection with. And these were people that I have not seen, a lot of them, in 30 or 40 years. And I'm thinking,
see?
How in the world did they know that? That made me feel weird.
Yes.
Like, okay, their algorithms, something's going on. And yeah, I knew that person back in 1976. But it was too spooky. So I just got off. I also wasn't happy with Facebook's response to the data breaches.
Well, and I'm
still not happy.
Now, well, you shouldn't be. You've learned. Now I got to throw more things.
There should be nothing left
because of the Cambridge Analytica story that came out. I don't think people understand the depths of that. But before we get back to that, because I'm going to tease here, I have to take a break. My producer's been very patient tonight. And by the way, Rob Martier, who is on his way home on the Kennedy right now, also was very patient that I had gone late to the news. So let's try to catch up here. We'll find out what was something good in the $1.3 trillion spending bill.
Something
that
very good.
President Obama worked very hard to accomplish and sign today. More after this on 720 WGN. Yes, yes, I get it. I slipped up last segment when I said that the $1.3 billion spending bill.
Trillion dollar.
I'm sorry. See, I'm doing all kinds of slips. There are all the things that I wish were true. I wish it was just $1.3 billion added to our debt. And apparently I wish that President Trump was not our president. I you know what? I get to wish things. Sometimes I say them out loud on accident. But joining us on the line is Eric Elk. Eric, did you catch that little mistake that I maybe have made?
Oh, I caught it. Okay. I caught it. I mean, I wish it was only a billion with a B rather than trillion with a T.
Do you also wish it was President Obama rather than President Trump in office?
Let's not get crazy.
Really? Even with all your criticisms of President Trump, you would still rather have President Trump over President Obama?
No, I think that President Trump was extremely classy.
Did you say President Trump was extremely classy?
Oh, excuse me.
Events of the last week have flummoxed everybody. Patty's out of whack. Goodness. She's throwing things. She's talking about President Obama. She's having flashbacks.
You're calling President Trump classy? Yes.
Hey.
Okay. Mistakes were made.
I need to clarify that. Big mistake was made. No, but I think the way President Obama conducted himself while he held office was extremely professional and brought class and dignity to the office, and you know, should have made Americans proud. We didn't have to. We could disagree on the policies, but still respect him and the way and the dignity that he conducted himself.
Well, and Eric, I could take it one step further. How many times during his 8 years as president did you wake up in the morning and look at your phone and go, "Oh my God, I'm from good"?
Well,
what?
You know, there was never any kind of story. I mean, look, there were no stories about the president during the Obama years with a porn star or anything like that. And you know, it's just embarrassment after embarrassment. The current occupant of the Oval Office.
When I saw a chyron that said porn star sues president, I thought that this is how it ends.
Now, is it a porn star or is she a adult entertainment actress?
Interesting.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, but that's an interesting question. Only, I mean, we can go back and forth about her role in adult entertainment. I don't know what qualifies as star. I think that, you know, I don't know how many clicks it takes to be a porn star.
That's funny.
Eric and I will study that over the weekend and we'll get back to you.
It's research. Close the door. It's research. Do not go in your browser history. By the way, the interview on CNN, also interesting, with the former Playboy.
Karen McDougal.
Bunny.
Yep.
You know, again, we have not yet gotten to what you believe is the good part of the $1.3 trillion spending bill that puts us farther in debt. My phone dings every time I say that, by the way.
I've noticed that. There's a potential good thing in this bill.
And you said it was good. You didn't say potential. You're now qualifying.
I'm going to qualify just a little bit because the devil's always in the details.
I need some water.
But the spending bill lets the Centers for Disease Control study gun violence for the first time.
That sounds
and that hasn't been done before.
Okay.
Now some of the critics are saying there isn't any funding. It's kind of vague. But this is a big step. And of course, the other thing that happened today was the Attorney General Sessions effectively banning bump stocks and anything else that turns a gun into a machine gun.
Well, ineffectively would not be acceptable. So effectively, what does that mean? Like he's saying that what I read was that any accessories that sort of accelerate the rate at which bullets can be fired, therefore classifies it as a machine gun. So something with a bump stock would then be a machine gun, making it illegal.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, and I the timing of both, I don't think is an accident, given what's going on tomorrow, the marches all across the country, the marches in Washington, which I think will surprise people in the numbers that are going to show up across the country.
I think that this is the people started marching. They made jokes about how the Women's March started, and there were people, and then they started marching for science, and they were marching. There was all kinds of marches, and people started making jokes that my new brunch is marching, because it would be on Sundays or Saturdays when people would normally be having brunches. But this does not seem to be slowing down. The numbers that are turning up to all of these marches are
I've got
astounding.
Two statistics that might show perhaps why. And I don't know if I've been...
You were bouncing up and down because you have not been on the show in, what, two, three weeks?
2-3 weeks. I don't know if I've been living in Osama's cave, his former cave. I don't know. And I missed this, but did you know that 78% of American adults do not own a gun?
How many? What percent?
78% of adults in this country are not gun owners.
78%.
Think about that. And look at... to me, that astounded me. And did you know
why do so many of them seem to call my show? I find it really hard to... It seems like 22% of people call on my show all the time.
And 50% of all guns owned by adults in the United States are owned by 3% of adults.
I'm sorry, can you do that again?
50% of guns
yes.
are owned by 3% of adults.
And how many guns are there? That's
extraordinary amount of guns. I mean, it's extraordinary what's already out on the street.
Hold on a second. Hey, Google, how many guns are there in this country? Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get this. Google should be. I don't have Elif. I'm not trying to make you do it. Hold on. Let me see. Hey, Google, how many guns are in the United States? Nope.
Please ask Elif.
All right, I'm going to Google it.
It's an extraordinary number. But I was astounded by the fact that only 22% of American adults own a gun, given everything that's out there pro-gun.
So let me tell you how many that is. 3% of the country owns 150 million guns. Because why? Boys, what's 2 times 150? It's 300 million guns in this country! I got nothing left to throw, Ken! Why are you doing this?
Okay. It's these are amazing statistics. And it makes me wonder, okay, so then why are people afraid of the NRA? You know, this is not the overwhelming majority position in the United States.
People think that the NRA is a patriotic organization. Do they understand that they don't represent the people, they represent the gun manufacturers? Yeah. Because why? Because there are 300 million guns in this country! Yeah. Sorry, was that too much yelling? I can't. Michael, see what happens when I have nothing left to throw? There's yelling. Okay. Michael's really glad I backed off the mic on that.
I'm just glad you didn't throw those live reads. Those are perfect.
They were in order. Do I have more live reads? Hey, Eric, can you explain to me why you're at spring training right now, by the way? Is it because you knew I was going to yell?
Because it's cold there and warm here.
All right, fine.
I'm sitting outside in shorts. It's like 74 degrees. Cubs won today. It was a great game. I mean,
what were the highlights of the Cubs game?
You're asking a really difficult question.
Right.
The beer was good. The sun was great.
Look, half was leadoff and led off with a home run. So that was pretty awesome.
I love it. All right. We have an important caller who's going to join us after the news. I hope she can hang on until after the Ars Nova plays another song. They are releasing a new CD on April 6th. You can go to the Cubby Bear and catch that performance. Eric, are you done? Did you say you're done or not done?
I am done.
Done. All right. Have a wonderful evening. It was because of the yelling, wasn't it? I apologize.
I'm getting scared.
I will. That's a good thing you're not in the studio. Ken's so happy he came back tonight. He's so happy he came back tonight.
After 2.5 weeks, I'm on my sick bed.
It's lovely to hear from you, Eric. Have a great time in Arizona, and we will see you next Friday night.
Sounds great. Thanks,
excellent.
Guys.
Thank you. So far tonight, we've decided or discussed the fact that 3% of the adult population in the United States owns 150 million guns. The president has signed into reality a $1.3 trillion spending bill. And then also he imposed a tariff that may or may not send our debt that is owned in significant part by China. They have a lot of treasury notes. And Ken just told me that even though I've thrown a lot of things in the studio tonight and I've run out of things to throw, actually they've come in and taken things away from me. He said he's got something that's going to make me want to wish I could throw something. I don't know what I have left.
Well, one of Joe Biden's foreign policy advisors put out a tweet which in essence said, if John Bolton is named national security advisor, we're all going to die.
Okay. That was not the way I wanted to go to our caller, just so you know. That was not what I wanted to do there. Did you see what you just did there? Did you not look over at the call screen and see that our beloved Jasmine is on the line?
Oh,
Jasmine, that's not what I wanted to do. Jasmine, how are you doing tonight?
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much for sending that photo of you in your new baseball jersey. I love your new shirt. How'd you like it?
And that's it. What?
How'd you like it in that shirt?
It's pretty cool. And it's actually mine because my last name's on it.
Yes, it says Washington on it.
I hope Anthony Rizzo won't get upset that I stole his number.
I don't think so. I think he's gonna be cool with that. And it was a really cool photo. And thank you so much for sharing that. Appreciate it.
When it gets a little bit, you know, just a little warmer, I'll go out to some games. It's a little cold right now.
Yeah, it's a little chilly out. I don't blame you. Let's sit tight until it gets warmer out. So you did something wonderful, important, and new for you this week, didn't you?
Yep, I casted my first vote.
Excellent. You turned 18 recently, and you cast your first vote in the Illinois primary. And
I'm not saying who I voted for.
No. And you're not. And that's the thing is that that's the way we should all be. It's like we can have these conversations. If you want to surmise from the tone of our conversation as to who I might or might not have voted for, that's entirely up to you. But I agree, Jasmine. I don't go blasting that out either. But how did it feel to vote?
It felt pretty good. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was because someone was reading it to me.
Right. Right.
So, was reading it and like whatever whoever I wanted to vote for, the lady at the polling place just marked it down for me.
And they're very good about making sure that anyone who has a visual impairment or anything that might impede their ability to, you know, get through the ballot. And plus there are a lot of names. There's a lot of different categories. Do they read off each category and say, this is the for governor, this is for judge and those kinds of things?
Yeah, there were so many people, though. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, there were some that I didn't really know.
And I think that's true for a lot of people, Jasmine. I think a lot of people were unsure as to, like, you know, there are a lot of groups like the American Bar Association, the Chicago Bar Association, that give you some direction as far as the judges go. But then there's water reclamation, there's your commissioners and things like that. Don't worry, Jasmine, you're not alone, and there's so many names. At some point, you're like... Yep.
I try to keep up with all the, you know, main stuff, like what's going on in Springfield.
Right. Right.
So I don't really look at all the smaller stuff.
It was an interesting night too. Were you surprised, Jasmine, did you have a chance to listen to the either Justin Kaufman's show or listen to WGN TV as they were getting the returns? I was kind of surprised at how fast I guess because in the last few weeks there have been special elections in other states that have taken hours and hours, but the results came in pretty fast. Did you hear them as they were coming in?
No, but I heard the results in the morning.
Okay.
When I was getting ready to go to school.
Yeah. That's kind of nice, too, is to wake up knowing what the information was.
Yeah, it's kind of wish some stuff had changed, but it's pretty good.
Kind of like the old days. You wait till the next morning, see what happens.
Did people used to go to bed? Did they?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And thanks for, I saw your friend request. I accepted it.
Oh, excellent. Of course. Good to be friends with you.
And do you want to, if you don't mind me sharing on the air, you want to know why I asked?
Why'd you ask?
Well, I don't know if you've done this, but if you go on your Facebook and click that navigation tab, there's like games in there and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I've been getting really into a specific game over the week, and I'm pretty good at it.
Okay.
So I was going to, if you're up for it, I challenge you to a game of Battleship.
Come on. You want to sink my Battleship? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Look out.
Maybe tomorrow afternoon if you're free. Like, I can invite you to a game.
I'm going to be traveling because I have a performance tomorrow, but I will try in between getting ready and going to my show. I'll try to engage in a game of Battleship with you. We will do this, Jasmine. I like it.
All right. Let me know whenever you're free so I can sink your ships.
Oh, no. Thank you, Jasmine. I look forward to it. You have go to bed now, will you? I know you fell asleep earlier. Now go back to sleep so I don't get in trouble for ruining. Yes.
I'm on spring break, by the way, so can you tell Nick D I might call in next week?
We will let him know, and he might be listening right now. So, Nick D, Jasmine might be calling into your show as well because she's on spring break.
Well, I hope you all have a good night.
You too, Jasmine. Get
Thanks,
some rest.
Jasmine.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We're going to have some more. Oh, we're going to have some more music when we come back. Jasmine, always great to hear from her. Of course, we heard from Jasmine on election night in 2016.
Yeah, 2016. We've heard from her a couple of times since then. And you're so right about the returns. I was out of state.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I stay abreast of the returns, especially in the hot races. And surprisingly, the Tribune was not the place I can get up-to-date results. Washington Post.
Really?
They had a page for Illinois returns. Every 25 seconds, it updated the returns.
And I was on something called Scribble, which was updating pretty quickly, too. I'm not sure what that
maybe
was.
Maybe they were getting a feed from them. It might have been the same thing. But it was lightning fast over about a 2 or 3 hour period. You watched all the returns come in, and it was actually really fun.
And done. Well, let's have some fun in a moment. We're going to continue our Freak Out Friday. We got music coming up after this break from the Ars Nova. They have a release party on April 6th at the Cubby Bear. So let's hear some jams when we come back on 720 WGN. Coming up on April 6th, the Ars Nova is celebrating their CD release at the Cubby Bear. You can follow them on Twitter at the Ars Nova and on Facebook. They are live in studio right now with us. Here they are with Hold Your Horses.
So slow, never seen you moving like that before. I needed a place that I could rest my bones, but your brown nose me, so I hit the road. Going down the wrong side of town, I see you around. Won't you tell me where you get your shiny things that drive me wild? And the shake don't take the cake, then it sounds to me like you've never been satisfied. But if you got two cheeks and a crack, hell, it doesn't get better than that. And you're on your knees just a begging for a surprise. Cause if the best is tough, the best it doesn't give what you expect. And you mind your P's and Q's and you pay your dues, then you're running on for the hill. Can't quite seem to cut that string. It's a real sticky place and I'm in between. One step forward and I'm knee deep, but the voices in my head won't let me sleep. That's your diamond rings and your finer things, but you still can't seem to tell me where you get your shiny things that drive me wild. If the bones and the shake don't take decay. Then it sounds to me like you've never been satisfied. But if you got two cheeks and a crack, hell, it doesn't get better than that. And on your knees, just a begging for a surprise. Because if the best is of the best doesn't give what you expect, then you mind your P's and Q's and you pay your dues. Then you're running on for the hill. Well, then it sounds to me like you've never been satisfied. But if you got two cheeks and a crack, hell, it doesn't get better than that. And you're on your knees just a begging for a surprise. Because if the best is still the best, it doesn't give what you expect. And you mind your P's and Q's and you pay your dues. And then you're running on for the hill.
Nova, and on April 6th, they'll be at the Cubby Bear celebrating the release of their new CD. Follow them on Instagram, The Ars Nova, and on Facebook as well. And by the way, Ken, I do like how you you just didn't look over the screen and saw that Jasmine was on the line, and you said that Joe Biden's foreign policy advisor said if Bolton becomes our
if Bolton is picked to be President Trump's national security advisor, mm-hmm. we're all going to die. Now, that's quite a tweet.
Is there any sort of stopgap here? Or is there any line of defense? Does he have to be approved by? No. Because he's an advisor. He's not a cabinet member.
It's a presidential appointment to his internal staff.
You know, it's weird when you're watching analysts and they say, you know, clearly the president goes with whatever the last person he talked to says to him, whatever the last thing is he sees on television. Whether or not this has ever been the case of any president in the history of the United States, maybe that's true. Maybe Harding, you know, whoever happened to be serving his tea, and maybe his butler said something and he went with that. We don't know. But the fact that we do know is the weirdest thing of this. And the maniacal tweets, the bizarreness. By the way, how come nobody, did you see the misspelling the other day that I think went away? Was he spelled weather or not, and he spelled it W-E-T-H-E-R. Like, that's enough. Like, that's not even one of the two. There's only two ways to spell that. It's that weather, like how is it outside, or weather or not. And there's
Well, after telling Republican congressional leadership last night that he was completely 100% behind this $1.3 trillion spending bill, he came out today about 9:30. Uh-huh. If you remember, in the morning,
yes.
And said, "I think I may veto it." What happened between then? Night and in the morning, Fox and Friends, his favorite show, spent the entire show ripping the spending bill.
Yes. You know, the beautiful thing about working a late night shift is I often sleep past 9:30. So
yes.
He had threatened to not sign it because he was going to blame the Democrats for not getting DACA and funding for the wall. And then he changed his mind and signed it anyway. So that all happened before
I even
woke
up. Called it ridiculous and was highly critical of it, said he'll never do this again.
He'll never do what again?
Nobody's quite sure. Nobody's quite sure. That was the question. Well, what will you do again? What won't you do again? You won't sign a bill like this that you haven't read? One that doesn't deal with DACA? One that doesn't have something for the wall? What did you mean by that? I don't think he knows what he meant by that. I think he was trying to put on a show.
I think we do need to open up the phone lines. We're not going to have a chance to play What's That From tonight. I think after the 1:30, do you want to play? Do you have something for What's That From? If you have a script. Oh, no, we're doing What's That From. The only reason we weren't going to do it is because I didn't have a script. If you have a script, I'm a little bit jacked. Can you tell?
Yeah, it's a quick one.
Yeah. I was only doing it because I felt badly that I hadn't suggested anything or asked for anything. But if you have one, we are definitely doing it.
All right. Yeah. Sounds
excellent.
Good.
So that's going to be after the 1:30 news. We'll have a prize for the listener who can guess what movie we are demolishing. Is it a classic? Is it one people are going to be sad that we're reading because we do such a horrible job?
Yeah, yes. They'll definitely be very disappointed.
They'll be very disappointed.
But it goes with the theme of the night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, was there a lot? Is there a lot of throwing, screaming? Are we going Back to the Future?
The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh man, you gave it away.
Oh no. Yeah. So that's that's coming up after
Something lighter, a lighter topic. We have a great next couple of days in television entertainment. We've got Billions premiere Sunday night.
Yeah, you like that show?
Homeland again.
Yeah, it's a good show.
And then
show.
Trust, which is the Getty kidnapping. It's a 10-part series which debuts Sunday night. That's on FX.
It's on FX.
And that comes on, I think at 10 o'clock, FX, 9 o'clock, I think.
FX really has done a great job with what's called the limited series. You know, when they do, weren't they the ones that also did the O.J. Simpson?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they also did, obviously, they did Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. They did, what's the one with all this American Horror Story? Right, they do a different genre, so yeah. It's still limited series, even though it's a different.
Oxygen just did is doing Tupac and Biggie, which has been really good, and they also did, they did something else. I can't recall what it is right now, but there have been some excellent. Those who like fact-based television, it's been a great. Great last few months. It's really been a good winter for that.
To go back earlier when I was talking about the film The Siege of Jadotville, which is a film about an infantry of a battalion of infantrymen, of Irishmen who were tasked with being peacekeepers by the UN. They were UN troops, and they were sent into the Congo and they basically had this tiny little remote town that they were supposed to hold, and they had to go up against 3,000 soldiers. Both mercenaries and people from the Conga. It was it's an incredible story, and apparently it's quite true to what actually happened. So that's on Netflix, an original movie on Netflix again, The Siege of Jadotville. More with our guests. We'll have some more music if they want to. I'm not going to make them play. That's three songs so far. You guys, we'll talk some more with our guests. We're going to play What's That From? And before all that, a break, news. And this is WGN Radio, 720 AM.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
Yes, that's right. We will take a movie scene from a beloved flick, a cinema masterpiece, and ruin it for you so you can never watch the movie the same way again. Or maybe we make you want to go back and watch it because you're like, wait a minute, I gotta wash that out of my mind. Joining me in the studio is Ken Jakubowski, and we are going to read a movie scene. And when you know what movie that's from, give us a call at 312-981-7200 and tell us what's that from. If you are correct, we have a gift card from Apt Electronics. You could say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro when you stop by out in Glenview. They've been pleasing people since 1936. You can visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Here we go. What's that from? Take it away.
Interior barracks daytime, a drill sergeant is in Jimbo's face as Jimbo stands in line with the other recruits.
Jimbo, what's your sole purpose in this army?
To do whatever you tell me, drill sergeant.
Dag nabbit, Jimbo, you're a gosh darn genius. That's the most outstanding answer I've ever heard. You must have a gosh darn IQ of 160. You are Jiminy gifted, Private Jimbo.
The drill sergeant moves down the line to the next man.
Listen up, people.
Now, for some reason, I fit in the army like one of these round pegs. It's not really hard. You just have to make your bed real neat and remember to stand up straight.
That is one very intelligent individual. You lock your scuzzy bodies up behind that private and do exactly what he does, and you will go far in this man's army.
And I always answer every question with, yes, drill sergeant.
Is that clear?
Yes, drill sergeant.
Another day, the recruits are sitting at the base of their bunks, assembling their rifles. Dave speaks to Jimbo.
Anyway, like I was saying, Shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it. Is this where we are?
Wait a minute.
No, sorry.
Farther up on the page.
No, sorry. What you do is you just drag your nets across the bottom. On a good day, you can catch over 100 pounds of shrimp. If everything goes all right, two men shrimping, 2 hours, less what you spend on gas, you can.
Jimbo finishes assembling his rifle as the other recruits are still working on theirs.
Done, Drill Sergeant!
Jimbo!
The Drill Sergeant rushes up to Jimbo.
Why did you put that weapon together so quickly, Jimbo?
You told me to, Drill Sergeant.
Drill Sergeant looks at his stopwatch.
Jesus! This is a new company record! If it wouldn't be a waste of such a dang fine enlisted man, I'd recommend you for OCS. Private Jimbo, you are going to be a general someday, Jimbo. Now disassemble your weapon and continue.
Drill Sergeant walks away as Forrest begins to disassemble. Jimbo begins to disassemble his rifle. I'm going to smack him. After the Drill Sergeant walks past, thank you, Dave. Dave looks up at Jimbo. Dave continues talking about his shrimp in his slow southern drawl.
Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is a fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There are shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole.
Another day, Dave and Jim shine their boots.
Shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp.
Another day, Dave and Jimbo are on their hands and knees as they scrub the floor with toothbrushes.
Shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
Night, Dave lies in his bunk and looks up quietly.
Night time in the Army is a lovely time.
Jimbo lies in his bunk and looks up.
We lay there in our bunks, and I just miss my mama, and I'd miss Jenny.
A young private tosses a Playboy magazine onto Jimbo.
And it was not Karen McDougal.
Hey!
All right, what's that from? I feel like, I'm going to go by the order of who called first. We get some names up on the board. Michael, I mean, he has a track. By the way, I was, apologies to everyone who was listening to What's That From. I was checking out some of our tech screen, and I was multitasking, so I apologize to all involved. Roger, thank you for the redirect. Higher up on the page. There you go. There we have it. We are waiting for, Tom. Tom is the first one out of the gate. Now, Tom, let me ask you something. Did you know, you were the first one to call. Did you know right away, or did you realize as you were on hold, did you have a different answer when you initially called?
No, I knew pretty much out of the gate. The first time I heard shrimp.
Yep, that's the giveaway.
All right, then. So tell us, what's that from, Tom, for a gift card from Apt Electronics?
Well, I hope it's Forrest Gump.
If it wasn't Forrest Gump, that would have been an upset.
I've got to go back and watch that movie because it's one of my favorites. And I've never read the book. It's something that I don't think. Have you ever read the book the movie is based on?
No, I haven't.
Have you, Tom?
No, I didn't know it was a book.
It was a book. So I think that there you go. We have a book club, and I'll brush up on our Forrest Gump. And it's a great movie. I love seeing all the slices of history, I think, was my favorite part. But this is how he wanders through it.
I remember where I was when I first found out about the movie. A guy took me to lunch, guy about 75 years old. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've got to talk to you about something. And we sat down, and he said, I just came back from this amazing experience. It's hard to explain. It's this movie, and for the first half hour, you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to walk out of this thing. And then it just kind of takes hold of you. I mean, he was just completely enthralled with this and how it had touched him.
I agree.
And it was a great – I have to say it's one of the top 10 movies that I've seen.
There you go. I think for many people it is. Well, yeah. Tom, you've got a gift card from Apt Electronics. Hope you have a great weekend, and we look forward to hearing from you again, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Hold on, Michael. We'll get your information. And for all of our listeners, Diane, Jim, and Rita, I'm sorry, Tom was the first one out of the gate and got the answer. We have texters coming in as well. Gump and run, Forrest, run! It's been a lot of fun hanging out. We have are rounding the corner into the last segment of the night. I think I've calmed down a little bit. And I think it's doing. It's fine. I'm fine, Ken.
Yeah.
On nights like this, sometimes I think I need to have a little bit of a, maybe we need a masseuse. Maybe a massage chair. Maybe someone give me a you know.
Some of those incense candles.
I need a hot rock massage.
Oh, hot, that would mellow you out.
I'm just saying. We are hanging out in the studio with the Ars Nova. They're appearing at the Cubby Bear for their CD release party. And you guys, now where are you from originally?
We're both from Chicago.
Come closer to your microphone.
I'm from Lincolnwood.
Lincolnwood?
I'm from suburbs. I'm from Naperville.
From Naperville. Yep. Thank you for clarifying, because we often have guests who are like, suburbs.
Suburbs.
Other places. How long have you guys been playing together?
6 years?
Is that about right?
Yeah. You don't have to worry. You're not being tested. You're not like a couple. You're not going to get in trouble with each other.
I don't know. People always try to quiz us like newlyweds. It's like, how well do you know your bandmate?
Do they? No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Oh, my God, Michael. I feel like we need to start a new game with our bands, is how well do you know your bandmates?
Yeah. The band game instead of the newlywed game.
The band game, yes. Yeah. We can start easy.
You give them cards and have money write down the answers and see if the other guy can guess the answer.
So it's Ryan Firm
yep.
And Dylan Levering. All right, Ryan, so what is Dylan's middle name?
I have no idea. That's not important. Does not impact my life in the slightest.
Do you have a middle name?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I feel like this is a good time to tell your bandmate what your middle name is.
I don't want to know.
No, it's too late. I want to know now. You can cover your ears. Oh, you're wearing headphones. It's being piped right into your brains. What's your middle name?
Sweet Baby James.
James. I'm guessing the Sweet Baby was added.
Yeah, maybe.
So were you yelled at a lot with the Dylan James?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
And Ryan? Do you know Ryan's middle name? Have you had a chance to... Have you stolen his driver's license on any of your adventures together?
Connor.
No.
He was looking for an Irish name to go with Ryan. Ryan, what is your middle name?
It is Matthew.
Matthew.
Ah, close enough.
These are two good names. Kenneth, what is your middle name?
Thomas.
Kenneth Thomas. KT. Yep. I cannot. KT's
are... KTJ.
That's a good
and
one.
And I, too, heard Kenneth Thomas a lot when I was growing up. Not said that calmly, usually.
Yeah. Not said calmly. All right. So there you go. So now you know one more thing about your bandmate that you did not know before the show tonight. I think that's what we're going to do. What was growing up? Ryan, what is Dylan's favorite? What was his favorite band growing up?
Okay, that's tough because he went through a lot of phases. I know that. I would have to go with Pearl Jam, though.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah, that's about
or
right.
Or The Who.
Actually, that's probably more. Yeah,
that's the thing. That's a hard one to pick. That's a hard one to nail down. And what would be Ryan's biggest influence? You think? Oh,
that's an easy.
Wow, look how fast that was. See, I should have started with something easy, so it wouldn't be so much pressure on the middle name. It's time to wind up the show in just a moment. Matt Bubala, is Matt Bubala in tonight? Yes, right. Matt Bubala. We'll find out if Matt Bubala is downstairs, and we will we want to hear something good. We know that there's something good happening in Chicago tomorrow at 5:07. What's happening at 5:07, Kenan? Tell me when we come back. 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. And I think we're all going to be very excited. I know you got your maroon and gold scarves on. More after this on 720 WGN. Go, Red!